Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies Football Show here on NBC Sports Radio with me, Robbie Musto, and my old mucker here, Robbie Earle, on our last Two Robbies Football Show of the season ahead of Championship Sunday tomorrow. So much to get through, my friend. A jam-packed show today. Mm-hmm. But let's start the show a little bit differently. We put a tweet out there, Rob, just asking our listeners for their favourite moments of the season. And we're going to read a few out here. Lots of replies to this. I got one, a really good one from Zach Ariffy to start. It says, Arsene Wenger's farewell at the Emirates. Despite being a Spurs fan, respect and love must be given. The Premier League owes everything to him. Much more than just a manager to many. He inspired me to get into coaching soccer and to give back to the sport that gave me everything. Another good one here from John Tabor to say, watching Liverpool Football Club and Mo Salah dismantle Watford with my mum and dad as they were just in awe of the beautiful game. They don't watch often, so to see it all click was special.
Yeah, I had one from Ahmed Ibrahim, who was a Manchester United fan, who said, we had our good moments. My favourite is beating City at the Etihad. The team showed what it's capable of, and I hope we show some consistency next season. And Michael Nathan came up with a great one here, Rob. Kevin De Bruyne's screamer at Stamford Bridge announced Manchester City is a different team this year. It was his celebration, as well as his teammates, suggested that this team were confident that their time was coming. And oh, what class they showed this season. And if you don't remember that moment, just listen to this.
De Bruyne powering through, left footed. What a strike! Kevin De Bruyne once again. A sensational finish from the Belgian, and the breakthrough arrives. That's devastating from Kevin De Bruyne. Chelsea 0, Manchester City 1. A measure of revenge here and a statement of intent by Manchester City.
Arlo White just said it. It was a statement of intent.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, throughout this show, Rob, we're going to talk about some major talking points and defining moments.
Yeah, looking back.
For me, that was a really strong one because at that point, it's fairly early in the season. We're not quite sure if it's this City side is a real deal. Me, you and many others thought the City were the title favourites and up against the champions at their stadium. Yeah. I thought it was an incredible performance, an incredible goal by a player that was good to go on to have a magnificent season. That was a massive moment.
Interesting as well, Rob, because the previous season when City won the title, on both occasions they beat Manchester City, Chelsea. So, you know, they had the hold on them. They were the reigning champions. We felt that Chelsea had started slow but were coming. We were always worried that Man City might have a soft spot, especially defensively. I think that day and the celebrations, as Michael Nathan said in the tweet, kind of told us there's something different about them this year. And boy, didn't it show.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about City and we've, you know, we've given credit to the manager and the players and the way that things have changed around. But I still think it's just worth... You have got to step back, Rob, and this is stat. Of course, they have a match tomorrow. And if they win their final game of the season, that will be 32 wins from 38, which I think is insane. I mean, just to consider the other strong sides, the other great managers this year, Rob,
and
just six games of 38 they didn't win is amazing. And I'm not sure whether we're ever going to see that again in the Premier League for as long as we're around, by the way. That's a stunning, stunning achievement.
Well, it's interesting because you're talking about what they've done, and not only the wins, but the points, 97 now more than anyone else, the goals, 105, one more game still to play, so it's not done yet. But I'm interested, so I'm thinking, okay, what comes next? What comes next with this group? So I'm going to say it. Repeat. 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 What comes next for this football club has to be multiple titles, two or three in the next 5 years. Mm. What has to come with that is domestic cups. What has to come with that at some point is Champions League. And I've also got something that I want to make sure I get out there as well. It also needs, over the next two seasons, Robbie Musto, Pep Guardiola to commit to this project. Mm. It needs a manager to say, you know what, I'm enjoying this so much, we're challenged so much, it's a different league, I'm going to be here for the foreseeable future. Because if he walks away in 18 months, 2 years, this looks very, very different.
If he has 2 years though, Rob, he can achieve a lot of those things you're asking
two more titles in a Champions League. Correct.
And then we're having a huge conversation about
is this
the best
there.
Ever team that England's ever seen? But of course, everybody knows that and appreciates that and respects that has to, you know, there has to be longevity with this. But that's the question.
Yeah.
Will Pep stay that long? He's a project guy. Yep. He's had two amazing projects up to this point. My gut feeling is another couple of seasons and I think he'll be done with English football and move on to something else.
That's a problem for City. One problem for Southampton tomorrow is that they face Manchester City, still looking to create more records and push the barriers even further, Rob. City take on Southampton. Southampton at the moment are sitting the good side of a 10-goal deficit with Swansea. Can Manchester City go there and score 5 and 6, Rob? It's possible, isn't it, the way they're playing?
Of course it is. Of course it is, yeah. I mean, Southampton have just got to be a little bit careful that they don't think that it is done. It's got to be a 10-goal swing. And Swansea have got to fill their end of the bargain as well. They play Stoke and they can win by a few goals.
3-4,
because
maybe?
Stoke are done. So it's not, I mean, it, of course it's going to be a huge ask, but it's not all done yet. But Southampton, it looks like, are going to avoid it. And Swansea, West Brom and Stoke potentially go down, which is a big story in itself, by the way, when you think of these three clubs that have been established, particularly Stoke.
West Brom.
You know, they've had such a disastrous season.
It's interesting because, you know, talk about City in the top and what they've done. Talk about teams, and let's say at the moment, all being equal, it's Stoke, Swansea and West Brom, Rob. One thing stands to mind, and Ryan Bertrand said it about Southampton, and they look like they might just get out of it. He said complacency drops in. And I've got the same word that these kind of clubs expect to be 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, somewhere around there, Rob. And all these clubs over the last 2 years have gone, we're not happy with what we got. We want to do the we want to go next stage. We want to play next stage football. But when you go next stage, let me tell you my opinion what happens. You get better football at times. You get a fragility. You get a beauty, you get an egotistical player that isn't going to deliver you the same thing every week. Now, when Stoke City were under Tony Pulis, you weren't going down, but it wasn't great to watch. As they've improved the quality, they're more fragile, Stoke, now. There's no base to what
fragile.
They do.
Fragile's one way of putting it. Disharmony is another word. I'm trying to find words
about
to summarise.
Those players.
You're talking Shaqiri's and your Boyens and your Hesse's. And
they're a bit some days in, flaky. Some days out. Look around, throw their hands up in the air. And not the kind of grinders
but those ones. They are more talented.
And they'll bring
that
better
football,
days,
but,
yeah.
But there's a huge downside if things go badly. So
correct.
I think that's if things are learning from the season. That's what we're learning.
But that's interesting. What do fans want, really? Do you want to be in the league doing the Tony Pulis style and not enjoying it?
I think there's a happy medium.
Correct. And that's my point, yeah.
Right. So we can look at Bournemouth.
There's another way of doing it.
It hasn't got to be one or the other. You know, so I'm okay with a team wanting to be more expansive, more attractive, and to give more to the fans because it can be done. But my goodness, it's risky. And if you bring in the wrong guys to do it, you know, you're in danger of just falling the other side of that fine line we always talk about with winning and losing, and you can find yourself in a relegation fight and going down.
Let me tell you where I see this. Clubs like Stoke, West Brom and Swansea. And Stoke, obviously, I was born in the area. I know the club very well and how they set up. Their first priority is to be in the Premier League, quite rightly. Do you know what they haven't done over the last 10 years well enough? Is concentrate on cups. Make cups your season. No league cups when everyone else, the big boys, are not playing everybody. Go out, full out, get to a couple of cup finals. Win a couple of league cups or FA Cups if you get lucky. Make cups your big thing and make sure you stay in the league. Most of the teams we're talking about don't have particularly great cup runs.
Yeah, but there's a risk to that, isn't there? I mean,
you've got to give the fans something at some point. We want to be entertained. We want something to be excited about. Yeah,
you want your day out.
Correct. Exactly.
Listen, my team, Middlesbrough, we had days out. Yeah. We got relegated as well. So it's just difficult. Yeah. And you look at the league table and a quick kind of overlook of it all, and the top six are the top six. Other than that, I mean, seventh are Burnley. Last year, they were near the bottom. You know, Southampton were near the top. It's almost like a league of top six and
no,
a 14.
It should be top six, Everton and the rest. Everton should never be really in trouble.
Wow.
They shouldn't be.
But they were.
Yeah, I know.
So they were this season for a little bit. So top six and bottom 14.
And any of the bottom 14 could get relegated?
Yes. I mean, we've seen it. Southampton were, what were they last year?
Yeah.
Eighth. Eighth fired the manager. You know, Stoke City. I mean, it's just, that's been the big lesson. Just be careful. Don't get big time players. Keep that spirit high, and you know, it should be okay.
That is a Premier League. That's why we love it. And that was the Kevin De Bruyne screamer. That was one of our defining moments in this season's Premier League. With Scott was realising that Man City were the real deal and ready to take the crown from Chelsea. Next up, we'll look at what surprised us this year. European football going to turf more. Who saw that one coming? You're listening to Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio. Be back in a tick.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Now, Robbio, you talked about it. It has been a season of a lot of surprises in the Premier League. So much to talk about. What's your biggest surprising happening in the Premier League this season?
Burnley Football Club are going to be hosting a European team at Turf Moor. And hold there. Because some certain pundit on national TV said that Burnley Football Club would be in the bottom three.
They were.
Whoa, and relegated to the Championship. Now, I mean,
they were second favourites with the bookmakers in the UK to get relegated. They sold Michael Keane for millions. Sold Andre Gray, their record signing, for millions. I thought they would struggle.
Hold your head in shame.
Okay, listen.
In Sean Dyche, we trust.
It's been amazing.
He's a new man.
How's he done it?
He's done it with, Rob, interestingly enough, common sense decisions. Sometimes we watch games and we see some teams and formations and personnel, and we kind of go, don't quite see what he's doing. Everything that Sean Dyche has done, I think you can see, and I think his players can see. The other big thing, Rob, and it's just, it maybe seems a small thing. When people have played in his team, if you do well, you keep the shirt. Nick Pope came into the team. Tom Heaton's fit. Nick Pope's playing well. Tom Heaton's on the bench. Ashley Barnes came in the team. Wasn't the top striker. Played well. Stays in the team. And players like that. Players can live with that. Because when I get in the team and I do well, I'm going to keep the shirt.
Along to your point, a simple formula has done it for them. Yeah. And good technical players that work really, really hard, that have a simple organisation and are well managed by a good manager that Sean Dyche is. You've only got to watch one or two of his press conferences to get a sense of what he's all about. He's relaxed. Yeah. He's a funny guy. Yeah. He's really honest. And he's always, always stressed in those conferences that I just want my guys to work hard. If we work really hard, they listen to what I'm talking about in the organization, we're going to be okay. And they're miles better than okay. Seventh place, qualified for the Europa League. Yeah, that is pretty amazing.
Give me your surprise, then. What stood out for you this season?
The signing of the century.
Mohamed
Salah. I think that has surprised everybody. Come on, $56 million dollars is a good fee, but it's not a huge fee. From Roma, I think he scored 16 goals in Serie A last season. He comes to Liverpool in his first season as a wide player in 50 games in all competitions, 43 goals.
Yeah.
50 and 43 goals. And I think you talk about surprising elements of that game, more details, his speed. I think the speed of his feet has been ridiculous. His finishing quality has been at the highest order that others would love to have. And also, by the way, I'm going to put in here as well a couple of things. Attitude and humility. I mean, he is that guy that's a super pro, and he's been well coached by Jurgen Klopp to get the best out of him. He's not just playing wide. We've talked about it, that he's a winger that's playing as a striker winger almost. And those runs and that team behind him, and he's got 31 Premier League goals right now, which equals the best ever in a Premier League season. I mean, nobody saw this coming, Rob. A signing.
Can't add too much to that. When I watch him, it's almost like somebody's pressed the fast forward button.
Yeah,
his legs are going quicker and he's moving quicker than anyone else. I'm going to go with one of your words. Durability, by the way. Doesn't rest 50 games. No. 50 games. The other thing I'm going to throw out there, Rob, is that there's been sentences this season where people have mentioned Mo Salah and Lionel Messi in the same. Yeah. I mean, if you'd have done that at the beginning of the season, people would have laughed at you.
But maybe we didn't know him as well as we.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why it's a surprise.
Now, just to go on that as well, the Messi thing, for me, is a few of the goals that he scored.
Yeah,
that's reminiscent
of the
Messi.
Left foot.
Not about what he's achieved and being on that same level, because he isn't. But some of the goals, I'm like, wow, that's the sort of goal that you see Messi scoring. Just stunning.
I tell you what, Rob, it's only the third time it's ever happened in Premier League history. The three promoted teams are going to be playing Premier League football. I mean, a stunning, stunning work by the three teams, by the three managers, by the three football clubs, when three established boys are going to go down and they're going to be there again next year.
Yeah, and just amazing jobs by the managers that have kept their jobs, that have been unsophisticated in some ways, but very, very well managed throughout.
Yeah, let's start with Huddersfield, because this has been a really romantic story. And we got a tweet, actually, from Jason Gagnon, who said, it's difficult not to get romantic about football when watching Huddersfield Town survive against Chelsea. The sheer joy on the players, staff and fans shows how big accomplishment it is. It's meant so much to this town as a whole. It is wonderful. And I dare you, Robbie Musto, to listen to this and not get goosebumps.
Christensen with the header, Lussell and the post both come to Huddersfield's rescue. How did that not go in? Mission impossible achieved. Huddersfield Town retain their Premier League status. A goal from De Poitras, an extraordinary save from Lussell. Huddersfield will party long into the night. What a story.
What a call as well. Yeah. And absolutely right. Absolutely right. Tiny budget, smallest budget, small transfer fees, you know, a small club, let's face it, a big time personality as a manager and an amazing achievement to stay in the division. They've won 9 games, Rob.
Yeah.
This Premier League, and we can look at the columns here for goals against and for goals scored and goal difference. They've got an awful goals difference, minus 29.
28 goals, Rob, and you survive in the Premier League.
But it's about wins.
Yeah.
It's about wins, and you've got to get 9 wins. They've got 9 wins. Southampton have got 7, Swansea 8. Swansea's 8 and West Brom 6 and Stoke 6. They've managed to win tight games, defensively very strong, with a squad that we've many times said, I can't see
not
it. I can't see the
not
goals. I can't see him being good enough. But they blimmin' have been, and it's remarkable. Great work from David.
You know what, as well? A couple of things as you do your research. Never in the bottom three. Wow. All season, never in the bottom three. One more thing as I was writing my notes and saying, you know, Newcastle, we'll talk a little bit quickly about them. Brighton, been brilliant. David Wagner, no Premier League experience, never been here. Chris Hughton's been here. Rafa Benitez's been here. They know a little bit. This guy, it's all new to him and all new to his players. And I thought Carvalho was a great example of maybe how difficult management is. You can go in and get a boost in players thing, and players tire a little bit of hearing the same thing with the same voice. This guy, all season, has been able to get a tune out of his players. Been magnificent, by the way.
Is he one of the coaches that we're going to file away like Eddie Howe? Been incredibly, Sean Dyche, incredibly
correct.
Important for their football club, which I'm afraid begs the question, my friend. Is he going to court attention from other clubs?
Absolutely.
I'm talking about this summer.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about this summer.
But I think, a bit like you say with Eddie Howe, put another year down, lay another foundation, show you're a good manager, work your way through this, and you can get there as well. Quick word for Newcastle, Rafa. It was all about him. What's for them next season, Rob? He's got to get a bit of money, hasn't he? He's got to get a bit of money to
spend. He might
not
stay, by the way. I watched his press conference, Rob. He's not committing to the future.
Yeah.
He's saying he's got a meeting with Mike Ashley next week, potentially, and he's got 1 year left on his contract. You know, I'm not sure that he's going to get the assurances that he requires to continue in the football club. Of course, an amazing job with a squad that's really improved and done great. But you've got to worry about Newcastle, whether he's going to stay there.
Brighton, Chris Hughton, staying up. I mean,
brilliant.
Didn't see that
well
at all.
Well-organised, good signings, good attacking balance. We saw him on day one, by the way.
Yeah.
And they beat against City. Was it 1-0 or something? It wasn't. Was it 1 or something? City beat them.
Yeah.
But they look kind of solid, well-organised and cautious. Really good season.
Yep, only the third time in Premier League history. Three promoted teams stay up. It was obvious some of the more established teams, Stoke, West Brom, Swansea, didn't read the memo. Well, there's been a real scrap for the top four. Well, in fairness, the three underneath City. We look at the Champions League spots and examine what has to happen for Liverpool to miss out and Chelsea to nip in. I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with his two Robbies on NBC Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show here on NBC Sports Radio with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earl. Now, we've talked City, Rob. Let's talk about the best of the rest, if you like. The challenges, the others that thought they might have a crack at the title. And let's talk about how they've got on this season. We've got to start in Manchester. Manchester United with Jose Mourinho, second place right now. They're in the FA Cup final in a week or so. How are we feeling, by the way? How are we feeling about Manchester United, Rob? I mean, it's second place. They are better than the other teams. There's been kind of good times and bad times and lots of criticisms and some credit. Where are we with them?
Points over style. Points, 78. Style could be like 20, but it's okay. Second in the table, Rob. Progression. Yep. Highest place since Sir Alex Ferguson finished. Okay for now. Right man, right time. Win the FA Cup and it seems progressing. But, here's my but. Massive question mark still. The three areas of the pitch. Goalkeeper, absolutely sorted. Defensively, have they got a centre-back pairing? Smalling, Jones. We keep asking the question. If we keep asking the question, that the answer's already there. Lindelof, Bailly's not playing. Defensively, stuff to do. Mm. Midfield, Pogba. Problem. Fellaini, Herrera, we've got to work that out. Matic, yeah, no problem. Attack, Lukaku, tick. Alexis, in time. Summer rest, tick.
Yeah.
Martial, Rashford, problem.
Yeah, so I'll attack it in a similar but a different way. I think there's a lot of players at Manchester United that are not Jose Mourinho type of players. And my little list, Daley Blind, not his type of player.
Okay.
Damian, no. Yeah. Luke Shaw. Now, you know, Anthony Martial. Now some question marks with these ones.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford, is he a Mourinho player?
Mm.
Juan Mata, question mark, hasn't played much. Paul Pogba. Now, by the way, that's not to say that some of these players aren't great players. They are really good players, but they're not Jose players.
Tell me what you mean, though. Go
well,
a little
I'll
further.
I'll tell you what I mean.
He
likes power, size, maturity, consistency, reliability, durability, and mostly mentality, Robbie Earl. So forget, back to your style, forget Man United's style of play. Forget all that. They hired Jose Mourinho. And what I'm saying is they might get rid of some players that have some flair, some style, Martial and Luke Shaw's ability and Rashford and Mata for a Jose team. He hasn't got a Jose team yet.
Okay, I like where you're going with this one because what you're saying, and this is something I wanted to come at, unhappy players might be unhappy players. Martial and they're second in the league or best they've ever been. They may be happier with other people, but actually they're doing all right. So you're talking about Mourinho players.
He's going to make changes, Robbie.
Do those Mourinho players take them closer to City then?
Well, yeah, he believes so. He believes so.
What, but less footballers,
more power.
Defending.
Fellaini's desperate for Fellaini to get a new contract. McTominay loves him. He likes power, physicality, reliability with a little bit of talent thrown in there. You've got Alexis to add that. Pogba, you know, Pogba is yeah.
Manchester United fans might be sending their season tickets back
based
on that.
Let's think about the Chelsea teams, Rob. They're full of power, full
of
energy, full of
counter-attacking. They played, though, as well, Rob. They all could play.
Play a little bit, too. I'm just saying, there could be a lot of change in this club to get a real Jose United team that's going to be...
How long does that take, then? How long? That doesn't happen in a year. That's a three-year project.
This is third transfer window.
Yeah.
So after this summer, surely he's going to have had enough money, enough time, enough numbers of players to produce a Jose Mourinho United team that, again, it's not like the normal ones, but it's a Jose one to win the title. I watched him do this at Real Madrid when Pep was in charge of Barcelona. I love that Barcelona side. The season after that, Jose found a way to blimmin' get the other side of him and win the title. He's a scrapper, he's a fighter, and he hasn't quite got... Like, did he say the other day, there's something I don't like the smell about
the smell
some of this squad.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He wants to change majority... Well, not majority, but quite a few players in this squad.
Interesting times ahead for Manchester United and the fans. We'll keep an eye on that one. Spurs, we're not going to pass over Spurs, but Spurs are back in there again, consistent. Top four finish for the past 3 years, so we're going to give them a tick. We're going to talk about the next two teams, Rob, fighting for what's still open is a Champions League spot. Liverpool, they beat Brighton or get a draw, they'll be through to Champions League next season. Chelsea need a win and hope Liverpool get beat to give them a chance. Liverpool,
excited.
Where are we with them?
We're excited.
Yeah.
We're excited.
Absolutely we are.
I mean, you talked about it just before we came on. You know, going from back to front now, you're not scared to do that.
No.
Where you were wanting to go from front to back and you're like, oh, you know what? So I think the changes, the
goalkeeper,
signing...
Goalkeeper, Rob. Yeah. Big decision for me. Stop being too loyal to this kid. Go and get a goalkeeper.
1,000,000% he won't.
Go and get a goalkeeper.
No, he won't.
Well, he's going to have a problem. He's not going to win titles. He's not going to win finals.
He trusts his players to improve, to get better, to be more comfortable.
Did Alberto Moreno, who he thought and gave a similar thing, and then we see Andrew Robertson come on and the whole thing changed.
But he gave Moreno another opportunity, another chance. He put him in the side.
Don't give us a blind spot, Jürgen.
He's not going to give up. Unless, I guess, Mignolet. If he sells Mignolet... You got to bring in another goalkeeper.
Go and get a top-class goalkeeper. Solves your problem.
I agree. I'm just trying to think what he might do because he's that way. But other than that, a midfielder's got power. It's got some pace and goals of Oxlade-Chamberlain. Lallana to come back that gives you a little bit of creativity.
A little bit more depth.
Nabi Keita to come in as well.
If Emre Can goes, a little bit more depth in each department will help.
Well, yes. Another striker, I would say. Yeah. I mean, you don't want to have to drop into Solanke or Danny Ings. Mm. I mean, of course, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Lallana can play in that front three if one of the wide guys gets injured. Correct. But somebody else up there. We'll see what happens in the Champions League final. But there's no question Liverpool are getting to a point where they're going to be challenging for the title next season.
Chelsea, what's that? The reigning champions up until City take the crown off them. Fifth outside Champions League again. Sort of seen it before. We've read this chapter. Yep. Win a title, drop off a little bit. Yep. Conte's not been happy for a while. He's made it known. I'm not sure that's been great.
Moody face. Yeah. So that's one of the... There's three parts to this, isn't there? There's a player drop off that we've seen before. We've had that. The moody manager's not helped anything. And transfer business. Now, I know we've talked about this a lot, Rob, but I got the old calculator out and I did some numbers here. Now, of course, they lost Matic and Diego Costa. Yeah. Brilliant players. Yeah. And that brought in, with others as well, $216 million. So for this season, I'm going to get to the in number, in the summer in January, Chelsea have spent, with that money and more,
$343 million. I did the numbers myself.
And they've gone from first to fifth.
$350, by the way.
Is it three? $350
virtually. But by the way, 91 for Morata looks overpriced at the moment. He could come good. 52 for Bakayoko.
Disappointing.
Not good enough.
I
44 for Rudiger.
He's okay.
But I'm looking around at Tarkowski. I'm looking around at Duffy and Drinkwater. 45. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of money spent, Rob.
Who are we blaming for that? Is that the... I mean, Conte will have you believe that it's all about the board.
Of course.
But surely Morata was a Antonio Conte signing, wasn't he?
You would think so.
This is what makes it difficult.
It hasn't just been lack of quality that's been Chelsea's problem. There's something, Rob, and there's something erratic about Chelsea. The moment they win a title, Chelsea now should be a legacy. They should be challenging every year. They should be guaranteed top four. Everything you want in a football club, Chelsea have got. They've got a good fan base, global fan base. They've got a good owner who puts money into the football club. They've got a great manager and they've got quality on the football pitch.
And they've won a championship last year.
And they've won a championship. Right. But they should be in top four every season. We've seen this before, though.
We've seen it before.
Of course we've seen it before. That's not an excuse because we've seen it before. They should be guaranteed
their trophy cabin over the last few years has been brilliant. Of course it has.
But they shouldn't be sitting fifth. Fifth for them is a huge disappointment.
Okay, but then next, there's talk about what do we need to do to keep Eden Hazard, and the manager Luis Enrique now is heavily favoured with Mauricio Sarri, the Napoli coach, as if like, you know what, Hazard needs a bit more of a technical coach to come in to enjoy his football a little bit more. Maybe that'll happen and we're on the same cycle, Rob, and then Chelsea come back next year,
the cycle's got to change,
new manager,
Rob.
Why? They're winning a lot of titles, Rob.
Yeah, but you're going up.
Yeah, but they're winning titles, championships, and
Manchester United won titles, but every year they finish Champions League. Every year they're battling for titles.
Yeah, but Arsenal, Spurs, and Liverpool would kill for the titles.
I know, but Chelsea, without being consistent in terms of their manager, Chelsea have got all the things in place you need to be top four. Other teams haven't. Arsenal didn't spend the money. Arsenal wasn't that way inclined. Arsenal had a bit of a blind spot. Chelsea have got a great manager who can win titles. They've got the money behind it. They spent $350 million. Mm. And they've got all the things in terms of a fan base and players.
I don't disagree, but history says they bounce back and bounce back well.
So you're saying that Spurs should be more consistent than Chelsea, which they have been over the last three seasons. Chelsea have won two titles.
All I'm saying is that Chelsea have won a lot of stuff over the last since Abramovich has been there. And there's been a lot of manager change.
And you're okay winning and drop next season, don't bother.
I am.
No, I'm not.
I'm happier than winning titles.
I don't know what I've got.
I
want to look at my players and know what I've got and who they are. Do they want to be title winners?
Good.
Are they hungry?
Change is good, Robbie Earl.
Change is erratic.
It brings titles to that football club.
Not having it. So that's the season Premier League table assessment. It must be going at it. With one more game to play, still a couple of things to sort out. Will Manchester City keep pushing those record numbers even further? When we get back, we'll spend a moment to celebrate the possible ending of two Premier League greats. We'll talk Wenger and Rooney next. This is Two Robbies Football Show on NBC Sports Radio. Be back in a moment.
Welcome back to the Two Robbies Football Show. Now, my friend, it's not often that we get to talk about a Premier League great. But Arsene Wenger is a Premier League great, and he's going to go into his last game tomorrow away at Huddersfield. There's been a lot of fallout, a huge reaction all over football in England, really, about this man and what he's done. Let's hear, though, from Arsene Wenger, part of his farewell speech at the Emirates last weekend.
Thank you all very well for having me for such a long time. I know that's not easy, but above all, I am like you, I'm an Arsenal fan. Just would like to finish by one simple word. I will miss you.
And we'll miss you, Arsene. I'm afraid I'll be picking up that pillar, Robbie Musto, and there'll be no Arsene pyjamas again. I mean, he's going to be missed. He's a pioneer of the Premier League. He's changed the way that the game's been played in the country. And things that we'll miss, the beautiful football, the great kind of football vocabulary that he talks with, it's very different to anyone else. Sometimes the rose-tinted views of how he sees it and how Arsenal are doing, the stubbornness, the loyalty to his players, the blind spots he gets on his defending. But most of all, and the thing that stood out of all the things that have come out this last couple of weeks, is his love for his football club, Rob. This guy loves his football club. He's a fan.
You know what? We always watch the press conferences the day before the weekend when we're working to prep and to see what they say. Yeah. And I was sat in my room today and I thought, it's the last time we're going to hear him. Mm. It's the last time we're going to hear him. And he was nice, relaxed, you know, in this press conference today, talking about, you know, his kind of philosophy. And he kept saying, Rob, things like, you know, all I want is for fans to watch our football and just to go back and enjoy it. And it's really important to him, the style, the way that he does things. I think his knowledge came across again today. And it's kind of sad. I mean, there was great things today. Mm. He was relaxed today.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, the most interesting thing. He was asked about, you know, what's the best thing that you're proud of at Arsenal? And he said his best work came between 2006 and 2015. Now, basically what he's saying is there, to maintain Champions League status with limited resources, of course he's talking about the stadium teams, build. Yeah. He thought that was his biggest accomplishment. Not the Invincibles, though he said that was his favourite team.
Yeah.
But just, you know, sometimes the fans don't see, Rob. The hardest thing is to see the money. Because remember times we said, spend money, spend.
Money, yeah.
The money wasn't there. Yeah. It wasn't his fault. And they had to sell their best players. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and as you say, Rob, remember the phrase I used with the guy who put Newcastle? I said he's a fanager. Mm. He's a fan manager. Mm. Arsene Wenger is an archetypal fan manager. He's a fan of this football club. And I don't think, I've looked at the league and thought, which other manager could you say is a fan of his football club? Arsene Wenger's the last. And he'll be the last, by the way, he'll be the last man that'll have a stand named after him for the time he's worked there. He'll be the last man that'll have a statue outside the stadium, because we won't see this kind of period again.
Absolutely. Fans. Wayne Rooney is a fan of Everton.
Yeah.
Let's talk about him leaving for MLS, for DC United. Is this the right time for him to go?
No. 32 years of age. He's Everton's top scorer. He's Manchester United's record goal scorer. He's England's record goal scorer. He's still got something to offer the football club. If Sam Allardyce stays, then yes, it's the time to go. Because Sam isn't going to play him. It's obvious. There's been some kind of fallout. If Sam goes, somebody else can integrate Wayne Rooney into Everton team.
I agree. I mean, I think he's just got to wait a little bit. Just be a little bit patient. See what's happening. Sam Allardyce apparently is going to have a meeting with the ownership at Everton next week. He's still got a lot to give, Rob. He's the top goal scorer for this season, almost one in three in the league.
Still,
you know, from a midfield position. So I think it's all about the manager, and I think he should wait to see whether the manager goes, because the next guy might want him inside.
By the way, you then start looking at what Wayne Rooney's done, Rob. His records are ridiculous. He was the last of what I call the street footballers, people who grew up on the street and took it into the Premier League. Mm. And I go back to the first day at 16 and a half years of age, I think it was, when he came on the scene, scored the goal against Arsenal.
Yeah.
And there was a great call by a commentator who said, remember the name, Wayne Rooney.
Mm. Yeah.
We ain't going to forget him, Robert. He's a Premier League legend.
When you're the top goal scorer for Manchester United and the England national team, we ain't going to forget that.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant player.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant player. And we'll see whether he is in the blue of Everton next season or he moves over to the States for DC United. It'd be great to have him here, but Wayne, we both think it might be a little bit early. So that just leaves time for Tweet of the Day, and that goes to Zach Arifi, who was actually a Spurs fan, but appreciates all the work that Arsene Wenger's done in the game and said he inspired him to become a coach. So Zach, please make sure your direct message is your address, and we'll get a two Robbie Scoff doing the post in the next couple of days. So we're at the end of the season, and I'm afraid it's the end of the road for Stoke, West Brom and probably Swansea. And Man City still got one more game to go, still more records to push even further for them. But remember, for more debate, discussion, and as you heard tonight, often disagreement, make sure to subscribe to Apple Podcasts to download the Two Robbies Show. And if you like what you hear, please review the show. But more important is let us know what team you support and why you love that team, and we'll read out the best responses on our next podcast. And finally, for me, thanks to all the good folk at Culver City, you guys have officially been voted the Two Robbies Team of the Year.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the show today and also supporting the Two Robbies Football Show all season long. But if you want more, there is more. Subscribe to the Two Robbies podcast and watch out for regular pods, probably over the next few weeks, reacting to any big stories that come up with national teams, certainly the Champions League final, and also World Cup reports, Robbie. I think we're going to chuck a few pods out.
Yeah, let's get some.
We'll get the major stages. We'll get through and we'll throw some pods out there. So, until then, it's good night from me.
Good night from him.
Good night.